I think we actually had about 20 announcements today, so we've got to stop somewhere. But I thought I would talk about our guys with their bone troubles. Yours is coming, but Ron Byers could not get out of his chair at all a few weeks ago and had back surgery and so forth. He is out of Vibra. He is home. The text was it will take 90 days to improve and maybe a full year to get back. So if we don't see Ron for a while, he is at home, but he's working on that. Winston Curtis fell and broke his arm. He was in the hospital, although I'm not so sure that is more Social Security and other things, but he was in the hospital. Then he was in Vibra, and they had rooms right next to each other. And he is home now. And I don't know how good he's walking, but when I called him, they were out driving around the car, so he was getting out of the house. So there are updates on the guys with more bone trouble. We are looking at the last part of 1 Corinthians 10 today. And it fits our world, actually. Paul will tell his readers not to go to the pagan temple. You can make friends with pagans. You can have them over to your house. You can try to build relationships with them and get them to trust in Jesus as Savior. On the other hand, there's a false religion. So having friends at your house is not the same as going to their pagan temple. Now, that seems a long time ago, but it kind of fits now. What is a Christian relationship with people in all false religions now? Yeah, there's a list of false religions now, but this week I've been thinking a lot about the Muslims. We will read verses. Could you make friends with an individual Muslim? Yeah. 10:27 will be go to their house and they can come to your house and make friends with them. On the other hand, as far as going to joint worship services, in their case going to a mosque, or going to a Buddhist temple, or going to a Hindu temple, 1 Corinthians 10 will say no. So, individual friends and trying to help, maybe. Joint worship services, no. Have them come over to Westcliff on Sunday mornings and do something for all our group, or have them speak, no. So we're going to have this in 1 Corinthians 10. It will talk about individual friendships, okay. Joint worship, no. 1 Corinthians 10, we have done the first 13 verses. Let's begin studying at verse 14 and following. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Is not the cup of the blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation of Israel, for are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? And he will go on to say that there is a unity with a religion, and there are false religions, and they have something supernatural behind their false religions. Also, the immediately preceding verse, the verse 14 and verse 13, it had taught there's no temptation has overtaken you, and God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. Now, that could be broadly speaking of all kinds of temptation. Yet, one temptation in mind is the temptation of getting approval. Getting approval in society. Getting approval with others that are mixed up. And so the temptation here involves not just immorality temptation, but the temptation would involve getting the world to respect you, fitting in. And he's going to say not to participate in false religions. So the reference to no temptation would fit that also. Don't be tempted to fit in with the world. Don't be tempted to fit in with society. So individual friendship, okay. Merging the religions together, not okay. Verse 15, he says, Corinthians are wise, they'll know. Corinthians will see it. And now we're smart enough, we will see it. Behind the true religion is the supernatural God. Behind false religions are supernatural little g God, Satan. And when he says you're smart enough to know what I say, that's what he's going to talk about. You're smart enough to know that the true religion has a true God and the false religions have a false little g God, and the false little g God is Satan. We often use verses 16 and 17 of communion, and that fits. Teaches that communion with all other believers all over the world is true. Taking the vine fits, sharing in the blood of Jesus. Taking the bread fits in sharing in the broken body of Jesus. And all over the world there is unity, and there is a supernatural true God underneath the true religion, which is Christianity. However, now he's going to talk about the pagans. In his case, the Corinthian pagans, which that would be specific, but it can be applied to the non-Christian religions now. And that's verses 19, and we'll use verse 21. 22 would fit, but we'll take it by itself. Verse 19. What do I mean then, that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but I say the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He's going to say you can be friends with them, have them over to your house, or as far as joint religious services. Not only stay away, but the specific teaching, they are demonic. Now, I've mostly been to the Hindu temple in Trinidad and Tobago. It was weird. The pastor of the Bible church, who is a South Asian Indian believer, he wanted to go look at the pagan temple. A great big monkey god. And people were out worshiping and bowing down to a great big monkey god. I'm kind of like, this is modern times, and actually Trinidad and Tobago is the, kind of like our hemisphere, and they're bowing down to a stone monkey. So there is no real God in all the false religions. There's no real God behind Islam. There's no real God behind Buddhism. There's no real God behind Hinduism. Obviously, the monkey is not a real God. But there is a supernatural being behind all the false religions. False religions then and now are all satanic, whether they say so or not. That is the link between all the false religions. Now, Paul was not the first person to teach this. It started in Deuteronomy with Moses. Here's Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrifice to demons who are not God, to little gods whom they have not known. And then it says, I think it's an interesting phraseology, gods who have come lately. I don't know where Johnny come lately comes from, but there's Moses in Deuteronomy, false gods who have come lately. They're not original gods. they're fake, they're later. And he's saying all of the pagan religions in the time of Moses, they're sacrificing to demons. Now, Paul did have that, Deuteronomy 32, in mind when he's using 1 Corinthians 10, because Deuteronomy 32 also says God is jealous. And that's coming in our very next verse. So Paul had Deuteronomy 32, that they're satanic. Moses said so. We had that in mind. And then later, God is jealous. So Moses started saying false religions are demonic. Quoted again in Psalm 106, 35-37. They mingle with the nations and learn from them their practices and serve their idols and share with them. They are satisfied. They sacrifice their gods. They sacrifice their sons and their daughters to the demons. So there's Psalm 106, phrases from it, and the sacrifice of children in the pagan religions. Well, they sacrifice to demons. So you have demons in Deuteronomy. You have demons in Psalm. You have demons here. That the false religion of the Corinthians was demonic. This kind of reminds me of sometimes rabbis now, and reminds me of Acts 23:7, that says the Sadducees denied angels and demons. Way back in Jesus' day, the people who ran the temple, the chief priests, were liberals. They denied demons. We just quoted the Old Testament. The Old Testament teaches demons. So how do you get the high priest, like Caiaphas in Jesus' day, denying the demons exist? This always brings a speech I did in Kansas City to mind. It was a citywide speech. All the pastors in town were invited to come. And I was the main speaker. And we were talking about mental illness, of course. And I said, mental illness is different than the occult. It's different than the demonic. And there was a rabbi there who stood up and said, well, I guess there are no demons. I was really surprised how liberal that is to say there are no demons. So Paul's reference to all false religions being demonic, that came from Moses, Deuteronomy 32. That came from Psalms 106. And there are references to Satan in Job. There are references to Satan in the story of David, where he was going to count the people. King James, number the people. So, really, quite a bit on Satan and demons in the Old Testament. So the Sadducees should not have denied it. And modern Jews today should not have denied it. The Corinthian readers, they're going to be told, go ahead and have dinner with the pagan neighbors, but don't go to their false temples. Don't worship in their false religion. Make friends, but not their false religion. Now, sometimes religions today are directly satanic. They will say so, like the weirdos dancing in Los Angeles at the baseball game. They will say they're demonic. They don't deny it. Other times there would be people today that would say they are not demonic, but here it is teaching they are. Hamas and Hezbollah might say they're not demonic, but they are demonic. And as far as worshiping with them, here's what the Bible says. Don't have any worship with them whatsoever. And you can tell from their actions that they are demonic and they believe evil things. Verse 20, all false religions are demonic. So they may not say so, but they are. While we're talking about witchcraft and demonic things, we should talk about American secularists. They may not be directly satanic, but there are Bible verses where it says they worship themselves. So they would say we're not worshiping any being, but they worship themselves. And in the Bible, worshiping yourself is kind of tied to being idolatrous. 1 Samuel 15, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination." If I use the King James, rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion against God, even though they don't say they're Satan worshippers, just saying, "I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. No Bible, no God's going to tell me what to do." 1 Samuel 15, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Ezekiel 14 talks about idols in a person's heart. Doesn't have to be a monkey god out in the park, like in Trinidad. Ezekiel 14, "Son of man, they have set up idols in their hearts." That's verse 3. Verse 4, "Any man in the house of Israel who sets up idol in his heart must be brought to give an answer in the matter of his idols." That you can have in secularists a form of witchcraft. It isn't direct. They wouldn't say so, but in the Bible, rebellion. Rebellion is a form of idolatry. It's kind of like I'm putting myself on a pedestal. I will do whatever I want to do, and that Bible is not going to tell me what to do, and Jesus is not going to tell me what to do. Says the sin of witchcraft. Colossians 3:5 has this interesting phrase: immorality, impurity, passionate desires, evil desires, which is idolatry. So even Americans, if they don't have a statue, they can worship themselves and these things we just mentioned, putting self on top and worshiping self. Ephesians 5:5 says the same thing, talks about immorality and impurity, which is idolatry. Now, the pagans in Paul's days worshipped at the temple in Corinth. And basically, it's a fertility sex goddess. That's what they were doing in Corinth. Not very good. But the pagans in Bible days and the pagans now have things in common. One of them is drugs, another one's killing babies. So back in those days, they used drugs, potions. The Greek word for sorcerer in the Bible is pharmakoi, because the sorcerers used drugs. They would use drugs to get out of their minds, but they would also use drugs for suicide. They would use drugs for killing other people. The sorcerers used drugs. So a common use of drugs kind of fits that. So does killing babies, which they've done for thousands of years. All the pagans, not the Judeo-Christians, but all the pagans. So that's what you have in the Old Testament, Molech, putting sons and daughters in the fire. So even today, if a person says they don't know anything about Satan, well, satanic beliefs have always been self as an idol, drugs, killing babies and children. So he's going to tell them, make friends with them, but you can't go to their temple. Verse 22 continues, but has the idea of jealousy in it. So let's read verse 22. "Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We're not stronger than He, are we?" Quite a bit about God is a jealous God. Quite a few Bible verses on that. Exodus 20, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol. You shall not worship them or bow down for them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." A jealousy from a person who wants to be better than other people and judges self better than others. That kind of selfish jealousy is wrong. But the holy jealousy defined here is that God alone wants worship. And the God of the Bible will not share worship with the pagan gods. So really, we can't go one way or the other. We either go one way or we go the other way. And he's saying here, basically, don't have anything to do with them. Now, the modern view is, and I've heard it around town, that all these religions lead to heaven. Doesn't sound very biblical from 1 Corinthians 10. Buddy, okay. All religions lead to heaven. It's not here. All religions lead to heaven. Now let's read verses 23 and following, where he will talk about, you can make friends with these people. Don't worship together with them. You can make friends. Verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If any of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. Now, there are rights and wrongs in the Bible. 9 of the 10 Old Testament commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that is not is you shall worship on Saturday. That's not repeated. But, of course, the others are. Don't lie, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal. They're all repeated. We have ethics. There's another list of things that are not in the Bible. I had you in mind wearing your suspenders. We don't have any Bible verses, thou shalt not wear suspenders. None on today. They're on, okay? He's hiding his suspender. Okay, that's an option. Doesn't matter. Wear suspenders if you want to, or don't wear suspenders if you don't want to. And there's a whole big long list of things that aren't in the Bible. Quite a few of them. One of them is we're not under the diet of the Old Testament. We don't have to avoid ham. We don't have to avoid shrimp. We don't have to avoid catfish without their scales. We're not under that diet. We can go one way or we can go the other way. Now, on the other hand, verse 24, is if you're around somebody and doing one thing helps them, do the thing that helps them. Nothing wrong with making friends with neighbors and co-workers, and at least while we're around them, and for the time being, doing what does not offend them, that would be a good thing. So if an unsaved Corinthian asks them over to their house, Christians can go and make friends with them. I've done it with Mormons. In earlier days, we had Mormons over to our house and tried to make friends with them and later witness to them, which we did witness to them. So if we want to make friends with them, that's okay. Worshiping together with them, not okay. Now let's go with verse 28 and following. But if anyone says to you, this meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the conscience sake. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Well, go eat with the pagan Corinthians. Go eat with the unsaved neighbors. Go eat with the Mormons. Go eat with the people that are non-Christian religions. Make friends with them. That's just fine. On the other hand, if eating meat sacrificed to idols bothered any of the Corinthian believers, if it bothered them, don't do it when they're at your house. Make a different decision. positively do what sustains them. Negatively, that's coming, don't put a tripping block in their way. That's what the word offense means. Don't put something in their way that scandalizes them. That's the actual original word here. Don't trip them up. So if something is a matter of personal choice, it's not right or wrong, we can go back and forth, we can do what pleases a person for that time and for that place. That's not inconsistent. Now, we can't go back and forth on real commandments. We can go back and forth on things that are not in the Bible and make personal choices. If it pleases that person for that time, go ahead and do it. Maybe to use my illustration again, we had Christian missionaries to India that were vegetarians coming to my mom and dad's place. So while we're around them, we did not eat meat that Sunday. So we can adjust on things that are not matters of right and wrong. Verse 31 and following, we've already been told you should do things that edify other believers. In verse 24, verse 31 is do everything to the glory of God. Verse 31 and following, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, not right or wrong category, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may become believers, they may be saved. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So don't give a needless offense. Just avoid it for that time and in that place. Offense, again, is actually scandal on. It was a tripping thing. While you're around other people and you have choice A or choice B, do what does not offend them for that time period, because it doesn't matter that much. And he is telling them to make friends with all kinds of people, but not to worship at their false religion, places of worship. Not to have them join, say, a worship service at the church. They can come listen, but they cannot come and help participate in the worship service. He tried to please people in order to get them to trust in Jesus on things that were not matters of right and wrong. He could just go one way or go the other. Back to the beginning of this, make friends with non-Christians. But he's saying don't worship with non-Christians. Their religions literally are demonic. So says the Bible. The musicians, please come.